It's Sunday, the 10th of May, day 50. Those whom the gods wish to destroy, says the old Greek adage, they first make mad. Maybe that should now be updated. Those whom the god wish to destroy, it should read, they first make scared. In that sense, coronavirus seems to be doing that job efficiently and well. We're definitely scared. And that mindset determines how we think about whatever future materializes as we emerge from the present crisis. And that's bad news, because there's lots of evidence that people make very bad decisions when they're frightened. Listening to people talk about a post-pandemic future, I hear three main scenarios. The first is the things will never be the same again one. The things the virus have revealed to us about our pre-pandemic, unequal, frantic, growth-obsessed, global heating world makes a return to that unthinkable. That's the optimistic view. Then there's the resigned realist's view. Some things will be different. There will be some, perhaps many, reversals of globalization. There'll be continuing ineffectual measures to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, many changes to our high streets, etc., etc. But basically, many of the old realities of our pre-pandemic neoliberal governed existence will reassert themselves. As James Carville, Bill Clinton's famous campaign guru, used to say, it's the economy, stupid. There is, though, a third scenario now lurking in the shadows, of a tech-driven dystopia into which we might lurch, because it appears to offer us a way of living with, or even without, the virus. It's already being peddled by tech billionaires like Eric Schmidt, the former executive chairman of Google, and it looks like it's being endorsed by politicians like the New York governor Andrew Cuomo, who are still in what one might call pandemic shock. The activist Naomi Klein has coined a neat term for this new wave of technological determinism. She calls it the Screen New Deal. The future that is being rushed into being, she writes, as the bodies still pile up, treats our past weeks of physical isolation not as a painful necessity to save lives, but as a living laboratory for a permanent and highly profitable no-touch future. The lesson that the more crazed evangelists for this future have drawn from the pandemic is that, as one of them puts it, humans are biohazards, whereas machines are not. The inference to be drawn from the pandemic is that the more technology we use to run our societies, the safer we will be. It's a future, says Klein, in which our homes are never again exclusively personal spaces, but are also our schools, our doctors' offices, our gyms, and, if determined by the state, our jails. 6 months ago, the likelihood of a proposition like this becoming a reality anytime soon would have seemed absurd. But pandemics have a habit of fast-forwarding history, and this one has been no exception. For me, the really ironic thing about this is that 6 months ago, the giant corporations who dominate the tech industry were on the back foot. They knew that society, in the shape of legal regulation, was coming for them, and they feared for their futures as the unregulated, lawless, feudal lords of a digital world. In their panic, they tried a rearguard action. The argument that because China was racing ahead in technology, they should have unlimited freedom of action to ensure the continuation of American hegemony. But in recent months, it was clear that this desperate strategy was losing traction, as the abuses of digital power became ever more manifest. And then along comes the coronavirus, like manna from heaven to Silicon Valley. And suddenly the tech industry finds itself with a new rationale. Society has realized that tech companies are part of the critical infrastructure of a frightened world, that we need them more than we realized. And having safely traversed that critical threshold, they're now beginning to argue that since we needed them so much recently, why don't we let them also shape our contactless future with the Screen New Deal? And so the exam question for today is, are we so frightened by our experience that we might sign up to this dystopia?